I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up, another one of those sports you've never heard of, but you'll hear about it on Only a Game. First, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Soccer?
Okay, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
Hi, Bill, and hello to our friends up in Maine. We are now on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, and we're very happy to be there.
We are indeed. Charlie, the streak has ended. Drew Brees failed to throw a touchdown pass, and the Saints lost to the mighty Falcons on Thursday night. His record will stand at 54, and some people are saying that's an unbreakable record. What do you think?
Well, except he's only 11 ahead of Tom Brady, which means Brady can break that probably, given the playoffs, probably early next year. So I don't think it's an unbreakable record at all.
We can't air the sound of the New York Jets returning to their locker room at halftime.
I can't tell you how sad I am.
During last week's dismal Thanksgiving Day loss to the Patriots, because if we did, the FCC would shut us down. But is it fair to say that Jets linebacker Bart Scott wasn't paying attention?
I think he was paying attention because he came up with a very interesting reply. He says the person yelling at you was probably picked last at dodgeball all through high school. So do you care about their opinion? No. So I think Bart was actually listening quite closely to what was being. It was really ugly, I'll tell you. And I mean, when the Jets fans surpassed their reputation for ugliness, that's some ugliness.
Should it be necessary to tell a player in the NFL that it's bad form to ask the opposing quarterback for his autograph?
Well, yeah, it's bad form. You should probably wait and, like, get it at the hotel or the Pro Bowl or something. You shouldn't get it in such a place where the local TV station can air film of you doing it. That's pretty bad. Jamal Charles has to learn the subtleties of high-profile sucking up.
In college football news, the former LSU defensive back known as the Honey Badger will no longer be badgering professors, deans, or campus police officers, and they won't be badgering him either. Tyrann Mathieu, where is he off to?
He's off to the NFL, to the surprise of absolutely no one, because he has virtually no place else to go. He will be drafted in the first round, and if he straightens out his life, he's going to make an awful lot of money.
After losing Rutgers last week and Louisville earlier this week, the Big East has added, I wish we had a drum roll, Tulane and East Carolina. Fair trade?
Well, first of all, road trips to New Orleans, always a good thing.
Absolutely.
Second of all, road trips to East Carolina, maybe not. The Big East is falling apart, and I'm not entirely sure there's anything anybody can do about it right now.
Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Danny Green were missing from the Spurs lineup during the team's nationally televised game against the Heat on Thursday night. San Antonio's coach, Greg Popovich, had sent his stars home, quote, to rest. I understand that NBA Commissioner David Stern thought that was a great idea because you got to take care of your players' health.
Greg Popovich is going to get fined, and he's going to get fined heavily, and I'm of two minds on this. I think he's entitled to do whatever it takes to keep his team healthy and ready for the rest of the season. At the same time, it is a minor case of consumer fraud if you bought a ticket to see the Spurs play the Miami Heat, and the only players on the Spurs anybody wants to see aren't there, and none of them are injured. They've just been sent home to rest. That's not a good thing.
The point here, I gather, was that Popovich's team had how many games and how many days?
This was their fourth game in five nights.
Yeah,
and Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili are all advanced in years as far as basketball players go. I'm still not sure that's an excuse, though.
Boston Celtics point guard Rajon Rondo, who had been chasing Magic Johnson's record for most consecutive games with at least 10 assists, was ejected on Wednesday night for his part in a brawl, and he was suspended for two games as well. A disappointing end to his streak?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the first action he took, which was to get in Chris Humphreys' face after Humphreys committed what is really a kind of hard and dubious foul on Kevin Garnett. The second push, which brought them both into the stands, he had to know was going to have the league come down on him hard. He simply got to exercise better judgment than that.
The Baseball Hall of Fame ballot is out.
Ah.
I knew that there was a certain excitement and bounce in your step, and I guess now I know why. The voters are being asked for the first time whether Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, and Barry Bonds should be inducted. Any predictions?
Oh, good. Increased self-righteousness. Just what the Hall of Fame balloting has always needed. I don't know what will happen. There seems to be a growing indication that at least in the case of Bonds and Clemens, they had Hall of Fame careers before they were reputed to start taking performance-enhancing drugs. That may be the loophole that gets one or both of them in at some point. The really mean thing they would do, of course, would be to induct Marvin Miller posthumously the week after he died, even though he told them before he died he didn't want that to happen.
Please take me off the ballot. Right. All right, here's my favorite number of the week. Forbes magazine says that the Toronto Maple Leafs are the first NHL team worth $1 billion. I gotta wonder, do the people at Forbes understand that what they're generating in Toronto in terms of income right now is $0 and
well,
zero
I'm not
cents?
Just that. What the hell is with the people in Toronto that made that franchise worth $1 billion, despite the fact it hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1967? I would also point out in this era in which, of course, we have to have an NHL lockout because zillions and zillions of teams are losing money, the least valuable NHL team on the list is the St. Louis Blues, and they're valued at $130 million.
In other hockey news, Detroit Red Wings prospect
Riley Sheehan acknowledged this week.
Well, I know, but when there's a lockout, you got to kind of reach for hockey news. Anyway, Riley Sheehan acknowledged this week that when he was arrested for driving under the influence, he was, in fact, quote, super drunk. Do you think the arresting officers would have known that if Mr. Sheehan hadn't told them about his condition?
Well, I think I'm not exactly sure if he was even able to get out of the car at that point. His blood alcohol was 0.30. But the other thing was, he was dressed as a Teletubby, Bill.
That's a tip-off.
And that might be a tip-off. Can you try to walk a straight line again? Because we just think it's the funniest thing we've ever seen.
And he can't use the rookie initiation excuse because there are no initiations when there's no hockey, right?
Well, the real serious problem is that he was underage. He was using a fake ID, and that might get him deported back to Canada, hopefully without the Teletubby suit.
And finally, Charlie, as if President Obama wasn't facing enough challenges, some of his constituents who are fans of the Dallas Cowboys have sent him a petition. What's their grievance?
They would like the president to use his little-known and little-exercised constitutional prerogative to remove a sports owner, namely Jerry Jones, from the ownership of the Dallas Cowboys.
In the 11th Amendment.
I have a call into Lawrence Tribe over at Harvard right now. I don't believe even in the implied powers of the presidency in the Constitution, nor in the concept of the living Constitution, can we find the ability to fire Jerry Jones.
You can find the sports
drones, on the other hand, are a possibility.
Of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places, and he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.